Hello and welcome to Walt Love Podcasting. This will be episode 2 or 3, or we haven't really figured it out yet, of our ongoing podcast. This evening you're joined by me, Brett Schmoofy on Twitter, and also
ECWW.com. I'm Josh, a great website.
And I'm Mike from blogmickey.com.
Tonight we're going to be talking to you about the 3rd annual Epcot International Festival of the Arts. The festival will be running from this past weekend, January 18th, until February 25th, 2019. The festival this year brings quite a bit of things that have been successful in the past years and has expanded upon the ever-growing Epcot Festival concept that is continuing to pull crowds into Epcot during slow and busy times. The festival this year goes for just over a month, when in past years it was 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah, and only weekends.
Yeah.
For the first year.
So the first year in 2017, the Festival of the Arts only ran on weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they did the Broadway shows every night because it was the weekends, and they had the food booths on the weekends only. So it felt like one of those slower period time at Epcot. Last year in 2018, they did it all week long with all the festivals, but they only did Broadway shows at the American Gardens Theater on the weekends. This year in 2019, everything is every day. So you get a Broadway show every night, you have seminars and workshops every day, you have artists out there performing, doing chalk art, doing live performances, bands, all day long, and you have Broadway shows, and you have all of the booths open every day of the week. So this is starting to feel like a full-fledged Epcot festival, very similar to Flower and Garden or Food and Wine Festival.
And I think it almost felt like a proof of concept the first year, and it was so popular, especially amongst locals that were able to go out there on the weekends and enjoy Epcot and some cooler weather and some lower crowds. And it's really expanded into, I mean, at least my favorite festival of the year, I think specifically for those reasons, some lower crowds and some cooler temperatures. Not to mention some of the cool artistic takes on some of the food. And, you know, despite higher prices for the food, I think it's my favorite festival of the year.
It's a great event.
Yeah. I mean, how does it fit in your lineup, Josh, out of Epcot festivals?
I like Festival of the Arts a lot.
Would you put it at the top or just one of, maybe, what do we have? We have 4 throughout the year. It's third for you. Yeah. So it's, yeah.
Food and Wine, number 1. Flower and Garden, number 2.
Okay.
Arts and Holidays.
Brett, how about you? Where does it fit in your lineup? Number 1 through 4.
Epcot during the holidays, I think, it's God tier. It's up there. It's the best. Not only is it the cool weather, but you have the Santas from all over the world. You have now the food booths running. They used to do food booths, but it was only like the glue vine at Germany. And they had cookies in the American Adventure outside of the candlelight processional performances. And now they have full food booths and they have the Santas, and it feels like a full-fledged experience. It's great. It's wonderful. Art Festival comes in at a close second.
Do they have a festival center for the Festival of the Holidays?
No, because last year they had the Cookie Nook.
So there's no Cookie Nook. There's no festival center.
So would you consider it a festival?
You said it was number 1 on your list.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, it is. I think it's number 1.
A festival with no center is the best festival.
Absolutely. Less people. Arts runs number 2. I mean, art has...
So the podcast with the fewest listeners is the best podcast.
That's why we're here.
In your opinion.
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, I can be swayed easily on that because there's nothing to do besides look at decorations and eat. And I see your point with Food and Wine Festival because there's so much to do besides give Disney your money in endless amounts for a 4 ounce pour of wine. I mean, in terms of festivals, maybe we won't consider Christmas a festival then?
So it's gone from your number 1 festival to not being a festival over the course of 30 seconds.
It's the best Epcot time.
The holidays.
The holidays.
Best time to visit Epcot.
Best time to visit Epcot. There's no way around it.
Festival of the Arts, number 1 for me. I think it's a cool concept. You get to see stuff that you don't get to see throughout the year. I mean,
you see stuff throughout the year that you don't see. It feels like a lot of the things that they've been wanting to do with Food and Wine Festival for years, but they haven't been able to because Food and Wine has become this manufactured nightmare that just pulls crowds and prints money. I don't want to say the quality of Food and Wine has gone down because the quality is still definitely there, but you have these chefs preparing 5-6 step plates for you at these festival booths. Yeah. I mean, for example, at the Pop Eats booth, there is a chicken roulade. And I remember waiting in line behind, there was like a dozen people in line for the chicken roulade. I was just getting a beer, but people were actively waiting for this chicken because the plating time on it was enormous. So you're getting extended wait times for these slices of food, but they're artfully prepared. They look great on Instagram. It's stuff that you don't see at these other festivals. Have you noticed that? The longer plating times, the longer lines?
Is that a good thing?
I don't know if it's a good thing. I don't feel as rushed when there's not a lot more people in the park. It's one of those give and takes. If the park is crowded, I want to get through the park as quick as possible. And that's typically the weekends during Food and Wine. And I want them to be fast and efficient. But now that it's colder, there's not many people in the park, I don't mind waiting an extra 3 or 4 minutes to get something that's expertly prepared.
Yeah, we went to Masterpiece Kitchen this year, and I saw the charcuterie it took a while to plate that. It took a while for them to paint everything onto the charcuterie there, but it was good. I mean, I had 2 people in front of me, 1 person in front of me. Yeah, it's going to take you longer to plate it, but overall, I think the experience with shorter lines, I think it's worth the trade-off for me. That's why I put it up there higher. I'm not waiting first day, first week for me, Festival of the Arts this year. I didn't wait nearly as long to order my food as I did during Food and Wine. Food and Wine's a beast.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think I would rather pay $1, $2, $3 more per plate, even though, you know, when we go and review it, we're ordering most everything at the booth. I'm waiting for it. I'm paying for it. It's a completely different take on what almost feels like the rest of the festivals almost feel the same. With regards to, you're going to have 10 people in line in front of you. You're going to be ordering the food. It's fine. Festival of the Arts, you're going to have shorter lines, cooler weather. You're going to have nicer plated items. You're going to pay a little bit more for it. But I think ultimately it pays off for me and it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to start off coverage of Festival of the Arts at Epcot, we decided we're going to take you on a quick virtual tour around World Showcase. To give you an idea of where booths are located, what these booths are offering, what the naming conventions of the booths are. If you're familiar with the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, you know there's a Canada booth, and it's outside the Canada Pavilion. Well, it's not called Canada this time. It's called the Masterpiece Kitchen, and it's outside Canada. And it's not particularly Canadian, but it's unique items from that kind of region. It's like outside of China, you'll find the Painted Panda, but it's not called China, but it still has those Chinese-inspired dishes. So the naming conventions with the pavilions and the booths are a little different than your typical Food and Wine Festival. We're going to take you on, like I said, the virtual tour, walk around. We're going to tell you where some of the cool things to look for besides Festival of the Arts booths are. We're going to tell you where some of the cool photo ops are, and everything in between as well. So we discussed when you're walking up into Epcot for the first time, you can pick up a cool Epcot International Festival of the Arts passport, which gives you all the details. Unfortunately, it does not include prices of the items, but it gives you each location around World Showcase and what they are serving. Entering World or Future World to go to World Showcase as well, you're going to pass the Fountain View stage. You'll see live performances there all day long with different bands, different artists, living sculptures, some really cool stuff. In this area as well, you're going to start seeing a few of the Disney artist tents. So such as the Wonderground, you might notice that name from Disney Springs, and also Downtown Disney at the Disneyland Resort. Wonderground has a lot of unique Disney artists who produce Disney-themed art. They have their own tent. Thomas Kincaid has their own tent as well, Thomas Kincaid Studios. You're going to start to see a lot of these artists and Disney-producing content around World Showcase, as well as their own unique art, is such as you may recognize the artist Greg McCullough. Greg is known for his Disney art, but he also has some very unique impressionistic art pieces as well that he releases, and he has those to check out. So this is not just a full-on Disney in your face art festival. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of Disney in your face, but it's also for the finer things. One of the cool things, I'm not sure if it's finer, of course, but there's chalk art as you're entering from Future World to World Showcase. Along the bridge, they have lights on them so you can see them at night as well, but they have 3-dimensional chalk art that there are artists out there daily creating these really awesome. Mike, you suggested that when we get to World Showcase, do we go left or right to start the festival?
We're going to take a right, no doubt. deconstructed dish should be the first stop that you make.
Okay, so the deconstructed dish is the first stop on the right entering world showcase. You're going to pass two art booths as well. One is selling marbled scarves, and one is the Pop Gallery. You may recognize the Pop Gallery from Disney Springs. Is the deconstructed dish first?
No.
No?
You have Decadent Delights as first on the right there. That's a permanent installation.
Yeah, but you can skip that.
Yeah, you can skip Decadent Delights. I wasn't particularly impressed by anything that they had there this year, right? No. Safely skip that.
The pretzel thing was cute.
The pretzel thing was cute. Did it melted really quick for you, right? The long chocolate stick there?
Somebody said it was like fishing into a pond.
That's the thing about the Festival of the Arts is you're going to find unique presentations for just about everything that hits your plate.
Yeah.
It was cool, but I think it's fine to pass on that.
It's very modern.
That's good.
Very skippable. Very modern art.
Would you skip the Neapolitan beer flight?
I don't know, would you?
I liked it in years past. So what's unique about it is they have a Neapolitan beer flight with a strawberry blonde beer, a vanilla porter, and a chocolate stout. So you have the three flavors of a Neapolitan. And they're all poured with nitro and not with a regular tap system. So they have this unique flavoring profile to all the beers. The flight is $9.50?
Yeah, $9.50.
The flight's $9.50. Try three unique beers poured with nitro that I think it's a unique offering. I don't know if it's entirely skippable. I mean, you can definitely save the $9.50. The beers aren't that unique, but I think that the presentation of the flight, other than saying, hey, it's just a beer flight, I think the Neapolitan idea is cool and very art festival.
And that's the thing with the art festival is you're going to get them trying cool and different things that they can really do when you have lower crowds and arguably probably one of the lowest attendances for an Epcot festival. They can have fun with that sort of stuff. But I think as far as food options are concerned, at Decadent Delights, you can safely skip.
So that was, if you're walking, we're going to walk counterclockwise off the front promenade of World Showcase. This will be on your right-hand side. It's actually the permanent building that runs as the dessert stand at Food Wine Festival. And then upcoming on the left is the deconstructed dish. This is even before you head towards Canada. It's basically right there near the Friendship Boat Launch.
Yeah, I'll meet you on the left there. I think for me, the deconstructed dish was one of the top ones for the festival. Not only for a unique presentation, everything's going to be deconstructed, which means that it's going to be, you know, pieced out. So you have a Reuben there that's going to have all the unique elements of a Reuben that are going to be prepared and placed on the plate a little bit differently and separate from each other. I think the deconstructed dish for me is definitely top three.
Have you ever had a sandwich and wished that each piece of that sandwich was placed separately on the plate? Like, man, I'm enjoying this turkey sandwich, but only if the bread was in one spot, the turkey was in one spot, the mustard was in one spot.
Not traditionally, but for the Festival of the Arts, it works, I think. I think the deconstructed dish is cool. I think it presents something that, no, of course, if I'm going to go to have a sandwich, I want to eat a sandwich. But if you're going to go to the Festival of the Arts and you're going to end up paying $6.50, which I think is a relatively low price for a lot of the Festival of the Arts items, to be honest, I think it's a good dish. I think it's something that's unique. I think it's something that's interesting. And I think it's something that's worth a stop to check out.
I would have paid one more dollar for them to put the sandwich together for me.
And you said there wasn't enough of the bread with the deconstructed Reuben.
It's a rye curl.
It's a curl. It's just a little piece of rye. It's not even a full piece of bread. It's just a little bit.
You don't need it.
You don't need it.
You don't need it.
That's fine.
Enjoy the shredded corned beef. Put it with the Thousand Island dressing. You don't need the rye curl.
Eat a sandwich with your hands.
No.
With just a fork.
No. You don't go to Epcot to eat a sandwich with your hands.
You're going to. That's what you're doing.
No, you're going to go there to check out and see your sandwich displayed to you in each unique individual piece at the deconstructed dish.
Yeah, this item would not work at Food and Wine Festival.
It wouldn't. And a lot of the items at Festival of the Arts wouldn't work at something that's a high capacity, something that's going to take, you know, they're trying to get a huge throughput of guests. They can take their time with these items. They can spread them out on your plate. They can do something cool like the deconstructed dish. And I think it works. I enjoy it.
If I'm going to eat a sandwich, I want you to bring me a sandwich. Like, there's a reason it's constructed.
Then argue for me why the deconstructed BLT was one of your top items from last year.
Because it's pork on a plate with an egg.
So what's wrong with shredded corned beef, Thousand Island dressing, and pickled red cabbage and a rye curl, a small rye curl at that? Same booth, same idea, same execution. It's unique. And that's what Festival of the Arts is. I think it separates itself from a lot of other festivals where you can go to the same booths, you can go to the same permanent locations, you can get similar food. Festival of the Arts really stands out when it comes to food preparation, food presentation, and food quality for me.
That's very true.
There you go.
All right.
Deconstruct a dish. Make it your first stop.
Yeah. Why all three? All three food items.
Yeah, I think so. I had a little bit of a problem with the BLT this year. The crispy pork belly was a little bit too chewy for me.
Hope they fix that.
If they do, yeah, buy all three. It'll probably be one of the few booths where you actually do buy all three. But if you're going to go Festival of the Arts, you're going to take out your phone, you're going to take a picture of the art that's on your plate.
This is the artsy stuff.
Right? Buy all three. The deconstructed dish is the spot to buy all three, I think.
And if you're home right now and you're eating a sandwich, just take the pieces apart, eat them separately, and put $20 in the bank.
No, you take the pieces apart, you present them nicely, you eat them separately. You forgot about the nice presentation. That's what we're paying for at the Festival of the Arts, the nice presentation.
The separation.
At the deconstructed dish.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
that's fine.
It's a good first stop.
So the next stop is actually another one of the permanent stands before Canada, the Refreshment Port. They had lobster chips, and I felt they were pretty good. I could do without jalapeno, but I mean, I felt they were pretty decent.
They were good. Would you pay $9 for them again?
It's a bar food thing.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad value.
$9. So we just argued that you're going to go to the deconstructed dish because of the beautiful presentation.
It's two completely different things.
Yeah. So do you stop at the refreshment port for the lobster chips?
If you didn't stop, it's two different people.
Yeah. You aren't missing much if you don't stop there, right? It's a good dish.
It's a filling dish.
Yeah. For $9, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's kind of like the Food and Wine Festival this past year had beef brisket poutine, which is now a permanent menu item at the refreshment port. And it's fantastic, mm-hmm. and it'll fill you up for the price tag. If you want to sample other things with your family amongst the festival, that's your better option to get this, fill everybody up quick so that you can split the items later on. I don't think that's a must get.
No, I think you can skip the lobster chips and the brief beef brisket poutine. That's fine.
Yeah. Bring us up to the next up, actually. So this one is located in the typical Canada booth pavilion, or Canada booth position.
The log cabin.
Called the Masterpiece Kitchen. Masterpiece Kitchen has a wild mushroom risotto, a charcuterie palette. No, I'm just going to say plate. It's not even plate, it's palette.
Mm-hmm.
And then some panna cotta with rose water. Do you like the panna cotta? I did not like the panna cotta.
I love the panna cotta.
I felt it was very... I'm not much for the floral or the fragrance or the rosy. I don't like rose. There's something about the smell... And I guess even going to the taste of that kind of smell being the same way with rose. And I didn't like the rose water that was spritzed on top or used to make it. That just was a big turnoff for me. I felt the panna cotta, it was fine. Just the rose water was an immediate turnoff.
As people who have gone the past 3 years, you look at the panna cotta and you put it up against, what was there last year?
Triple Moose. So good. So good.
You feel bad for the panna cotta this year. Going up against that as far as a dessert. I think it's okay to skip.
As far as like fruity, refreshing desserts go, it's pretty good.
Would you buy it again?
Yeah, I would get it.
How about the other stuff? The wild mushroom risotto and the charcuterie?
The risotto is unbelievable. And it's $9. And it's six bites. But you're not going to be mad, I don't think, if you get it.
No, I don't think so. It's so good. We've had it the past 2 years, I think, and it's been awesome. It's been wonderful. How about the charcuterie there?
I mean, it's $3 a bite. The charcuterie is good, too.
So what would you get there? Would you absolutely stop? After you just had a wonderful experience at the deconstructed dish, do you stop and order all three items again in Canada?
Yeah.
At the Masterpiece Kitchen?
Yeah.
Okay. After I just said that the deconstructed dish is the only spot you're going to buy all three items, you say, go ahead and spend that money, pull out the wallet again, and go to the Masterpiece Kitchen.
As far as $3 goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, get all three, because... Later on, I mean, we're going to do a full Brown World Showcase. Later on, you're going to get to pavilions where you're going to, or booths you're going to look at it and go, well, I'm getting nothing here. And that's going to happen once or twice, three times?
Yeah, a few different times you're going to skip the whole entire... So we've done Deconstructed, we've done Masterpiece. Where's our next booth?
The next booth is actually pretty far away. So you're going to be walking from Canada up to France. You're going to basically bypass quite a bit. On your way up to France, though, on the left-hand side, we've been witnessing Captain Hook has been meeting guests alongside a...
Walk-in photo op, right?
Walk-in photo op, yeah. It looks like a storybook. It's a Peter Pan storybook that you can walk into and get your photo in, and it's really cool and well done. You'll actually see a few more of these photo ops throughout World Showcase as we do the lap. But this is the only Disney-themed one. The other ones are themed to fine art. So going to France, we have... Well, it's written in French, but it translates to The Art of French Cooking. I had mixed opinions on this one particularly. The menu includes a creamy brie in a bread bowl, a salmon, almost like ratatouille-type dish, and a molten chocolate cake.
What'd you like there, Josh? Everything? No. You're going to make me buy three things in a row. As I make my lap around World Showcase, right?
I would never do that again.
No.
You like the bread bowl. You like the dessert.
Okay. I'm 100% with you there on the dessert. I think it was good. I didn't have a good experience with the bread bowl. The cheese was off for me. It wasn't good.
It's a very salty brie that you need a piece of the bread and the starchiness of the bread to compensate for the saltiness of the cheese.
We can pass on the salmon dish there. I think it's a safe
bucks.
Yeah. Safe pass, right?
Safe pass.
Yeah. Okay. So get the dessert for sure, and then if you're feeling adventurous, I think get the bread. I think the bread bowl is nice. It's got a nice little a burned in logo on the top of the bread bowl. It's the presentation, I guess, is as nice as you can get for a bread bowl, right?
Well, the dessert is a good example of what the art festival is all about, because food and wine festival, you can get a similar molten chocolate cake at the island booth. It's just a little cake with a lot of icing, and that's it. But if you order the French dessert, there is a guy or a woman inside of that booth is going to put the cake down. They're going to sprinkle powdered sugar over it. They're going to dollop 8 different sauces around it. And it's a beautiful presentation. And I think that's worth the extra $2.
Absolutely. It was good. It was very, very good.
Yeah, definitely like the dessert there. And if you want a bread bowl, I don't think you can go wrong with it. Just make sure that you're, you know, pairing it with the bread in each bite. You get a little bit of salty cheese.
I think it was the exception.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I've read some good reviews on it. I think we just had maybe it was the exception.
It also wasn't warm. It was weird. If you were drinking here, the Froze hasn't changed since the first year. It's been the same one for 3 years. It's tasty, though, but I don't think it's worth the $12.50.
All right, so what's the next booth that we're going to find?
If there is a female in your life, trust me, get the bread bowl, get the Froze.
It's a good combo. I think that a Froze from France at any festival, anytime that they're going to offer you a slush drink, I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, we had great luck the past 2 years with the three, 4 years with the food and wine one. Next up, walk through France...
Morocco, right?
There's Morocco, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually past the Morocco Pavilion, basically halfway to Japan. We have the Mosaic Canteen. Mosaic Canteen has 3 items, actually everything. The entire menu returns from its 2018. It includes a spiced beef, a Mediterranean flatbread, and a ciabatta?
A dessert.
Ciabatta? I'm unfortunately not sure how to pronounce that. And I apologize to the 3 people listening. That's incorrect.
Fried dough coated with honey. I didn't think it was that great last year. Did you like it last year?
Mm-mm.
Do you like it the year before?
Mm-mm.
No, it wasn't good.
This booth is entirely a skip.
The spiced beef is good, but it's not $8 good.
They have a flatbread in there that was fine, I think, right?
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the flatbread from last year.
Yeah.
They didn't try anything this year, though. Bringing back the exact same menu, down to the drinks, too. We've seen a couple of booths that'll bring back the same food.
You do not want to embrace the error.
No.
Trust
me. We tried that last year, right?
Embrace the podcast.
That's it. Yeah, no. I think that you would be perfectly fine keeping your wallet in your pocket as you walk by Mosaic Canteen onto Japan. So Japan, let's talk about Japan.
Japan's booth is called Takumi Table. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly as well, and I apologize to the now two people that are listening to the podcast since the last one. There's teriyaki, which is the fish-shaped Japanese sweet stuffed pastry. And also new this year is the sushi donut. It's not like a fried donut. It's literally sushi rice.
Prepared in a donut shape.
Prepared in a donut shape.
It's kind of cool. They had what looked like to be, I mean, at least as far as the festival is concerned, a custom mold to be able to prepare the sushi in a donut shape. I'm sure that's probably widely used outside of the festival, but they had a custom mold where they were preparing the sushi and you had a different bite as you made your way around what would be the donut shape. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the teriyaki stuffed pastry? We didn't have it this year.
We had it last year.
It's the same thing from last year.
The sushi donut is $7.50. The teriyaki is $5.50, and it's a relatively big
fish.
It's not fish though. It's a pastry filled with a red bean paste.
It's fish shaped. It's up a dollar from last year.
Was it $4.50? Oh, it was
$4.50 last year.
We were talking about how great of a deal it was last year.
Kind of a good deal last year. $5.50. Would you spend it?
It's unique. It's interesting. It's not my cup of green tea. But it's...
I think the red bean filling was the texture that kind of put it off a little bit. I remember last year we said that the majority opinion was to pass it. But it had some good redeeming features like the raspberry sauce, that sort of thing. But I think you can pass on it.
Well, there's a reason they serve it with the whipped cream and the raspberries.
Yeah.
It's a little out there.
It is a little out there. It's cool to look at.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It looked great on Instagram.
Yeah. The sushi donut. What do you think about that? Buy it or pass on it?
If you're unfamiliar with sushi, the tribe.
If sushi is your thing, is this worth buying?
No, but you could say that about anything.
If you're
serious about your Rubens,
you don't buy the deconstructed. The Ruben.
You know, if you're serious about your scallops.
I think one of the cool things at this booth.
The sushi donut is a good value this year. It's really fresh. And there's somebody in the studio making everything fresh.
Making it right there. Again,
making it right there.
Another example of them preparing the food piece by piece at Festival of the Arts.
Absolutely.
You can't beat that.
No.
You
can't beat it.
Especially for something that's going to be...
With the exception of Mexico, which we'll get to.
We'll get there in a bit.
One of the fun things, though, is that, I mean, you're seeing the chefs there prepare the sushi donut right at the booth. Whereas with the Food and Wine Festival, when they had the sushi rolls, they were prepared back in the Japan Pavilion and just wheeled out for you. So who knows how long ago that was created. Not that it matters with raw fish, but...
Yeah.
Raw fish. Good
eating
time of the week.
Raw fish right now.
It's fine. Did you have the melting snow cocktail?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Refreshing.
It was. It was very floral and refreshing. Was it worth $7.50?
No.
No.
It never is.
Here's another thing. Is the personalized sake that's going to be personalized. So they're going to write your name or whatever you tell them to in Japanese on your cup. $10. Would you pay that?
Yeah.
You pay it again?
Yeah.
Paid over and over again, right?
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's a nice thing.
It's another example of something that's prepared right there for. I mean, sake is going to be poured right out of the drum that they have of
they
sake.
They have a full sake drum that they ladle
they
into.
They do.
So you purchase this, they give you a wooden box. It's literally a box, it's a square box. It's hard to drink out of. And the cast members from Japan will write your name in kanji on the box. So I had a box from last year that sounds out, if you know how to read kanji, it sounds out shmoofy. It's $10. You get a full drink, more sake than you should probably be having.
It's actually a good amount of sake, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that box. I think that's a good buy.
You get a cool souvenir, too. You get something unique and just pretty awesome.
So this year, go over there, get the sushi donut, get your personalized sake in a traditional wooden box.
Japanese pavilion or booth is right outside Japan. Basically, we're at the pavilion itself. If you continue straight, you're going to be going towards the American Adventure. Interesting, I guess, the funnel cake stand outside of American Adventure has a specific funnel cake.
Did you get the funnel cake, Josh?
Yep.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Salted caramel. Fantastic.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Better than the normal daily funnel cake you can get there. Worth a stop?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the best dessert at the festival. It's huge.
Wow. How much is it going to cost you?
$9.50, which is $2.50 less than the holiday festival.
Okay. Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
So stop there, for sure.
Yeah.
Split it with your family, split it with your friends.
Yeah.
Even if you don't eat it all, that's only $2 more than any other of the bites out there for dessert. And you can
don't
split
believe
that.
How good it is.
that almost serves as a dessert in place for the artist table, because they've only got the jumbo chocolate chip cookie where you can get at a lot of different places. So it kind of serves as a dessert that you might normally get at a booth.
It's a full funnel cake, though. So at the American Adventure, on the right-hand side of the pavilion, we have the artist's table. This one has a beef Wellington, a pan-seared scallop, and like Mike said, that jumbo chocolate chip cookie.
Mm-hmm. Pass on the cookie. Get your funnel cake instead. Mm-hmm. The beef Wellington, you said you weren't a fan of?
We enjoyed it.
It was good.
How high is it on your list?
It's above middle of the road for me. I thought it was worth, as far as the new items this year, I think that it's worth consideration. Does it stand out? Probably not.
But it's not even like a slice of a beef Wellington. Like each one is its own thing. And that's going to be tough to prepare. I guess it's hard enough to do a full beef Wellington.
Yeah.
But to do like 800 tiny beef Wellingtons throughout the day?
I think at $8.
They can't get the hot dog right. They have not perfected the hot dog. And they're going to do beef Wellington?
Mini beef Wellington.
Miniature beef Wellingtons. Yeah. All day.
Pass on it? Maybe get the scallop.
Get the scallop.
The previous years?
But it's still good. It's worth a shot.
It's good.
It's good.
Is it $8 good?
Depends on your amusement factor.
Yeah.
Like if you're in for a laugh. Like if you just want like a, if you want a good food item, maybe not. But if you want to have something and maybe giggle a little bit.
Look how small this beef Wellington is.
Maybe
Wellington.
You want to have like, why do I just pay $8 for ground beef in a tortilla? Yeah.
So that's what it amounted to, ground beef in a tortilla.
I would try it.
Yeah. I think it was fine. I think that I enjoyed it. But the pan-seared scallop from previous years, it returns again this year.
It's Aaron's favorite.
Yeah. It's a
she
good...
She loves it.
But scallops in general are good.
Well, yeah. Disney seems to always... It doesn't matter what festival it is. It doesn't matter what scallop dish it is. Food & Wine had two of them last year. They were both excellent. Disney just has this way of cooking scallops. I don't know if it's the scallops that they get, they order, or if it's the way that they do the scallops. But every time there's a scallop dish at a festival, it's always fantastic. Always.
Since we're talking about scallops, I'm going to jump ahead of myself here. Over at the Mexico Pavilion, the scallops there, what do you think? Good? Scallops? Disney scallops? Great? We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
You're jumping halfway around our showcase here.
One scallop, though.
It's one scallop.
Was it
$7?
Yeah.
It's a good scallop. The thing about scallops is you just have to grill them for a minute on each side and you're done.
Yeah.
That's the whole preparation.
What does it come with? Chorizo and a red pepper?
It's delicious.
A Parmesan crisp on top?
It's delicious.
Yeah. $6.75 delicious?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's at a festival, yeah.
If you aren't in the artist's table for the amusement factor, you go for the scallop and not the beef Wellington, right?
Get them both.
Get them both?
Yeah, get them both.
Yeah.
And the funnel cake.
And the funnel cake. You'll be done.
Ooh, it's good.
There's not much left that it's a must get from this point. Actually, there might be. Drinks here? The Sipping Chocolate Flight? $8 for three things of sipping chocolate that you're going to have a sip of and then be done with is not worth it.
If you love chocolate, it's a lot of chocolate.
Non-alcoholic for three sips of chocolate milk.
Did you have the chocolate?
No, what'd you think?
It is so thick.
Is it?
Imagine the thickest. Imagine like melting a chocolate chip cookie and then getting rid of the cookie part.
So $8 worth. It's good.
It is so it's so much chocolate.
Do you go for the chocolate and beer pairing flight instead? Have you had that?
Yes, I've had that as well.
What do you think? What's going to be better for you?
They'll both kill you.
Well, the chocolate and beer pairing flight, they put little dishes on top of the beers. They pour you the beer flight, which they already gyp you on a bunch of the beer because they put dishes on top of the beer to put chocolates on. So the whitest part of the glass is not full of beer. So instead of getting a 4-ounce pour, you're probably getting like a 3-ounce pour. And then you get chocolate on top of that. Was the chocolates good? Did you have them, Josh?
They were good, yeah. It was a nice pairing.
So you buy the beef Wellington, you buy the scallop, you buy the...
Yeah, you started a blog. Congratulations.
You buy it all. You buy it all.
A blog and a podcast.
Yeah. What else at the artist table? What are we missing?
They have Lindemann's Framboy Lambic, Framboise. There's a raspberry lambic. It's not worth $4.50 for the glass, but it is unique and rather tasty. And those of you being fans of the grapefruit beer in Germany may find this one up to your liking as well. It's a little more tart than you expect, but it is refreshing and good.
We finally made it to the Italy Pavilion.
I would go big in the U.S.
Yeah? You'd buy everything there?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to buy everything at Deconstructed Dish.
Yep.
We're going to buy everything in Canada.
Messy Beast Kitchen. You could skip the dessert there.
Do
skip
I need the dessert? Do I need this cookie?
No. You don't. You skip the cookie. The jumbo cookie in Artist Palette?
The cookie's adorable.
No, you skip the cookie. You go straight for, what did you like? The dessert.
So it's a cookie. When it gets down to it, this is a jumbo cookie that has a piece taken out so it looks like a palette. And then it has some chocolate melted on top to give it red, yellow, and blue to make it further look like a palette. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's
yeah,
very I'll give art that. Festival. I'll give it to you. That's fine.
Yeah.
By the booth.
And the chocolate flight? The sipping chocolate flight?
If you have a lot of people, you will not believe how thick that chocolate is. It's like if you had like Hershey's chocolate. Like let's say you had 4 ounces of Hershey's chocolate and you put it in the microwave and you melted it. That's what that is, times 3.
That good. All right.
It's that something.
All right, buy the booth at Artist Table. Go for it.
Yeah, no.
Get a few of your closest friends, buy the booth at Artist Table. Finally, have we made it, finally, to the Italy.
Italy Pavilion. We are at Italy. Italy, it's in Italian. It's the art of eating. We're outside the Italy booth. Actually, before we get there, let's talk about something else in the American Adventure booth, or pavilion. Outside American Adventure, there is a photo op of a walk-in one, very similar to the Peter Pan storybook near the United Kingdom. You walk into the famous painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware on a boat. So you can position yourself so that you're on the boat pointing forward with him. It's a really cool photo op.
I like it. I think it's one of my top photo ops.
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful.
It's iconic. You everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to know it. I think it's a good one.
Yeah.
Stop at the photo op.
Stop at the photo op and then head towards Italy for the art of eating. Here we have a beet salad. We have a some pork ribs and then a mousse, an orange honey mousse.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So Italy flipped their entire booth. Everything here is brand new for this year. For those of you who are very privy to reading EZWW.com and basically any other website out there that covers any of the Epcot festivals, you know that the Italy booth is never a favorite. Did that change this year? I feel my opinion swayed. It was almost edible.
Well, now they don't serve Italian food. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, I think that it was good this year because they went with goat cheese fritters, which are good. I think they were fine. They needed a few more. We only got 3 of them. I think that the ribs were good, and I like the mousse. I'm not going to buy the booth, though.
You'd be pretty dumb to order anything at this booth.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, the ribs are... What do you get? 2 ribs?
$11.
$11 for 2 ribs.
Everything tastes fine. The price point's way up there, though.
The goat cheese fritters I really liked.
It's not $9 worth.
And the candied beet salad, good. Not $9 worth. They missed it by a couple of bucks. $6.50, $7, would you buy it?
Mm-mm.
No? What would you buy it for?
$1.
What?
25 cents.
All right. So you're skipping the entire Italy booth again, despite a better performance than festivals past, arguably. They got away from the pasta, which they traditionally don't cook very well. I don't think so.
It's $30 for the 3 food items.
You pass on it. On all
yeah,
of them.
You'd have yeah. to.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to meet the person that gets something from there, and they're like, yeah, this is a great value. This is my number one booth from the festival.
There's no
I
value.
Would like to meet the person. You can put this as the number one.
You can order the funnel cake and the 3 items at the artist table and still make out cheaper than the 3 food items at Italy.
Oh, then you do that every day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would love to meet the person that would put this as the number one booth at the festival.
But we can agree that it's gotten better than previous festivals, because they've strayed away from traditional Italian food. They've never, I don't think that they've ever done a wonderful execution of traditional Italian food, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, the less Italian it is, the better it gets.
The better it gets, which is just a problem for this booth. So walk by it. They got a photo op, right? You can do outside.
Yeah, there's actually two photo ops right outside. Mm-hmm. There's a side-by-side of the Mona Lisa and the Scream portrait that you can jump into. You can walk right in. And then also, as you're leaving to go towards Germany, near the train setup, there's the Birth of Venus. Please, no nudity in the park, but you can stand in it and pretend you are the Birth of Venus and cover yourself like the painting did. I don't know what you want out of that one. They're all fun. They're great photo ops. PhotoPass is there, and it's lined up perfectly for you to get your photo with. They're really awesome.
When you say no nudity, who are you talking about?
I was very judgmental in nature, thinking that, maybe not judgmental, but I was curious as to why nobody has attempted the full Birth of Venus pose.
Right.
Which, if you're not familiar with the painting, the Birth of Venus is a woman standing over on this bed of flowers. It's the Birth of Venus, and she is nude and covering her body with her hands and arms. And I'm not sure why I'm not allowed to do that myself in the park to recreate that iconic scene.
So that would be far more enjoyable than the food at the Italy booth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I would watch that all day.
Yeah.
The photo op is better than the Italy booth.
All right, so all we're right. Passing on the Italy booth.
Passing on Italy.
We're doing the photo ops.
Yeah, do the photo ops.
Where are we going to find next?
We're going to Germany. Actually, not in the pavilion, but beyond the pavilion on the right-hand side. You're going to find Cuisine Classique. Cuisine Classique brings with us a beef short rib, a seared corvina, a tart, and then that chocolate chip cookie is back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that jumbo chocolate chip cookie that was at in the America booth.
You can find it at a couple different points throughout your walk around World Showcase.
It persists.
It does.
It follows.
It's a good cookie. Just for one photo op. You get it. It looks good. What are we going to order here? The short rib returned from last year, as does the tart, even though it's presented a little bit differently. The corvina is new. Corvina? I wasn't terribly impressed by that. That's a pass. Josh is shaking his head furiously.
The corvina is not new. The corvina is new.
What is it?
It's the same menu.
It's new.
It's the same thing. No, it's the same menu. That's what I was going to say. The corvina is not new. The corvina was there last year.
It's not new.
All right. The corvina is not new.
What is new, though?
It's new to me. I didn't have the corvina last year.
Well, you're missing out.
No, I'm not. You can pass on it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the corvina.
No, I think the booth is very passable, except for, I think, the dessert.
The tart's good.
The tart is fantastic. The tart is $6, and it's this rich, ungodly amazing piece of peanut butter and chocolate tart. I think it's one of the best values on the festival.
$6? Yeah? You'd pay that?
Yes, great.
They got a little bit different presentation this year. They got some white chocolate art on top of the tart. It's good. The tart. It's good.
It's good.
Absolutely.
Is it worth a stop?
Yeah.
What do you think about the short rib? I like the short rib year over year. It's the same from last year. Everything's the same from last year.
Yeah, looks to me.
The short rib's good.
Yeah, good sense. You have to lean forward and talk louder.
You're in business.
Did you have the Play on Rosé flight?
Yes.
Thoughts on it? Thoughts on the Play on Rosé?
It's a good flight.
It was unique.
It was unique. Each individual item was unique and separate from the other, which is kind of what you look for in a flight. We've had flights before in many Epcot festivals past. I think that each one of those drinks, you're going to find something unique from a taste perspective.
This one was good because it had a cider, it had a beer, and it also had a frozen part to it. So it was a unique flight. It was worth $10.
What else are we missing here from the Cuisine Classique booth?
Nothing.
What are we going to find next on our trip around World Showcase from the Germany Pavilion?
Germany Pavilion, you're moving forward. There's a few more near the Germany Pavilion. There's a few more art vendors. There's also some near Japan. I mean, you'll see them all around World Showcase. Next up is the Refreshment Outpost. They have a unique festival offering as well. It's the chilled shrimp with quinoa and layered vegetables. I didn't have this year. I had it last year, and I thought it was great.
Tell us what you think about the refreshment outpost. Did you have anything this year, or did you just... It was the same as last year, right?
Good.
Worth a purchase?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's something unique, different on your way. After that, you're walking over the bridge towards China. China's pavilion, or booth name, is named the Painted Panda. No pandas were harmed in the making of this booth. You got the Crystal Mooncake, you got the Dragon and Phoenix, and you have a plum-infused cherry tomatoes, which can be made alcoholic with some plum wine. We did the non-alcoholic version of them, and I hate tomatoes, so it was a great dish.
You can make those alcoholic?
Yeah, look, on the menu, on the bottom, the tomato plum cocktail, it's the plum wine with the plum-infused tomatoes.
Okay, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I had them with the alcohol.
Were they good with the alcohol?
No.
You didn't have them without the alcohol, so you just had them with...
I had them both, yeah.
Not good with or without.
No.
I thought that it was very unique. I honestly did. I don't know if... I think here's where I come down on the Painted Panda overall. Everything is 50% more than it should be in terms of price.
How many tomatoes did you get?
Six.
Six yeah. tomatoes. So you're paying over $1 each for a cherry tomato.
Yeah.
That's how we robbery. That's too much. Even for Epcot.
It's too much. I think the entire booth is overpriced. What else are we going to find at the booth? The Crystal Mooncake, passable.
Do not get the Crystal Mooncake. Under any circumstance, do not order this item. It is the worst item at any Epcot festival ever. This is the hill I will die on.
So we've got Brett's opinion. What is your opinion, Josh?
Same.
Yeah. It's a bad dessert.
Mm-hmm. Anyone who defends this deserves to be blocked on Twitter and any social media. Just remove them from your life immediately.
There's a beautiful fruit filling, but the overall texture is just abysmal.
It's off-putting. I mean, I don't know what kind of things everybody's putting into their mouth to consume on a daily basis, but this will probably be the most texturally unappealing thing you will ever have the ability to put in your mouth for a $10 price tag.
The Dragon and Phoenix. We're going to find a spicy sautéed shrimp and spinach noodles. What do you think?
Love Mad Dragons.
Which is where you can find the spinach noodles.
Yeah.
For half the price.
You can get it
over half the price.
Exactly. An entire big side of these spinach noodles inside the table service restaurant in China, Nine Dragons, will run you $5. And you're going to get probably about three times the amount of these spinach noodles.
We should note that the spinach noodles were the outstanding portion of this dish, right? Was there anything special about the shrimp for you, Josh? No. I think you walk inside Nine Dragons and you order the spinach noodles for half the price. I think those were phenomenal, though. What do you think?
Yeah.
The spinach noodles?
Yeah. Nine Dragons.
Nine Dragons, a place to
go. Go to Nine Dragons. Don't buy this booth. There's nothing
here. Well, let's talk about the sugar painting before we get out of here.
So there's a sugar painting, and they have this artist here in China who is doing these sugar paintings over wooden sticks of the Chinese zodiac, and it is $15 for dried sugar. And the artist is only making them when he feels inspired or whatever they told us.
Yeah, that's what they told us. So that he has to be in the mood to make them. I think, honestly, he's been there most days. He's there more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a limited time offering as far as the menu is concerned. $15, I think, is a bit overpriced. It's beautiful art, though.
It's beautiful art. It's fantastic to look at. You can see all of them when you're there. They're trying to sell them because they realize that $15 is a high price tag. But it's the art festival. It's something that's art. It's something that's food. It's unique. It's cool. But it is not worth your $15.
Beautiful to look at. Stop there and look at the. Don't buy anything at the booth. Stop there and look at the sugar painting.
Did you buy the sugar art? If anybody out there has bought the sugar art, please let us know. I want to know what it tastes like. If it tastes more than just dried sugar.
Yeah, I'd be interested as well. We didn't buy it. Beautiful to look at. All right, where are we going next? Painted Panda. We've knocked out the China Pavilion. Don't stop for anything there. Look at the sugar art. Where are we going?
Keep moving. Norway has nothing. And as you approach the Mexico Pavilion on the right-hand side, you're going to find a Frida.
Mm-hmm. Photo op.
Photo op, where you can jump in and get your picture with her signature unibrow.
Mm-hmm.
Will be over your face. It's a cool photo op. It's great.
It's nice.
But you're going to get over to the El Artista Hambriento, the hungry artist, the hungry hamburger, as I've been saying for years now.
What are we going to find there?
You're going to find here slow braised pork, seared scallops, and a creamy Mexican custard.
Thoughts on the pork, Josh?
Tasty.
I didn't have any of this food, so.
No, I thought the pork was good. I thought that the rest of it was terribly dry. The fried corn dough, I think, was terribly dry. I think the black beans didn't help. I didn't think that there was enough salsa verde. I didn't think that there was enough crema mexicana. I didn't think there was enough wetness to the dish to make it something that I would order, especially considering that, with the exception of the past week, we've been having 80-degree days here in Central Florida. I think that terribly dry, I think it's worth a pass. We've also got the seared scallops. We tried to touch on that earlier. We finally made it around to Mexico. Thoughts on the seared scallops?
You get two here.
You get two?
Yeah.
For $8.25.
A little dry.
And Josh, you were raving about the chocolate flan. It's $4.50. Is this the dessert of the festival?
Yeah, it is.
Far and away the dessert of the festival. So you're going to get a traditional flan on top of a chocolate sponge cake. And I think it's really unique. You're going to get the texture of a flan is almost like a pudding, kind of. And then you've got a traditional chocolate sponge cake underneath. And I think it really is the only thing you should buy at the Mexico Pavilion, the Hungry Artist there. And I think the dessert of the festival, I think, is a fair tag to give it. I think that it's phenomenal, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good.
Cool. Other than that, skip Mexico. Next up, Pop Eats. Pop Eats is on the World Showcase Plaza near Disney Traders, near where Daisy's meeting. Pop Eats, there's a chicken roulade, there's a shrimp ceviche, an almond frond Japan cake, which looks like art. It's really cool. And the Pops art, which you should avoid at all costs. Also interesting, there is a special unique beer created just for the Festival of the Arts 2019. It is the... Yes, this is not a typo. This is literally what it's called. It is hashtag Rainbow Sherbert Glitter Dream Ale. It is sparkly. It is... It has glitter in it. You drink it and...
It's only $4.50.
It's $4.50 for something unique, brewed specifically for the festival. It's cool. I think it's worth your time and effort. I'm not confident if I feel anything else here is worth your time and effort.
Shrimp ceviche. I liked it. I thought it was good. I've had it in years past. Everything else kind of returns from years past, right?
Yeah, everything returns. Everything here except for the chicken is new. The other stuff returned.
No, the chicken roulade's been here.
Yes.
So it's all repeat. So the only thing that's new is the hashtag Rainbow Sherbert Glitter Dream Ale.
And the black blue sky, black cherry boba freeze, which we didn't have. It's not alcohol.
Whatever.
Yeah.
The popping bubbles cocktail is fun, but
I'm a big fan of that too. For $10, it's a bit of a stretch. It's a bit of a splurge, but it's fun. Popping bubbles is fun.
What?
It's gonna be alcoholic. It's gonna be something that's fun. I think it's worth it.
What champagne are they using? Iron Horse.
Iron Horse.
Yeah.
Iron Horse. It's fine. It's good. It's worth $10 for your Instagram.
I think so.
Next up, what was that?
Taste Track.
The Painter's Palette. So the Odyssey building at Festival of the Arts at Epcot is the festival center. So this is where you'll find seminars, you'll find workshops. The seminars are free, the workshops are not. Some of the seminars coming up include presentations by Imagineers. Last year I went to one of the presentations by one of the Imagineers who was doing prop design, and she showed us some really amazing things and the thought and detail process that goes into even the smallest thing at Disney. It's really cool to hear somebody who's so passionate about their work be able to come out and show you what they've been doing behind the scenes. And you can tell, I mean, at least last year, this person was itching to get out, and it was cool to see them just, I don't want to say unhinged, but at the same time, I want to say unhinged. Anyway, there's food in here. There's two items you can get. There's a trio of croissant donuts and a gallery bites. They're trios of three different items on each point. They're each, well, the gallery bites is $7.50. The savory croissant donuts is $9.50. They're unique. They're fun. They're art festival. I recommend getting them.
I think the gallery bites were good. They had some unique taste to them. I haven't actually been back since they've changed the croissant donuts from the first year. I need to go back and do those again. Have you had them since they've changed the presentation and changed everything about them?
Honestly, a lot of the food in here, it's very skippable.
So the smoked salmon is specifically, that's new this year. I think it's passable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can skip that.
There's nothing that screams, I need to stop here to buy something. Especially when he told you the deconstructed dish and the Masterpiece Kitchen and all these other locations have so much better food. There's no reason for you to drop another $20 here to get something that's potentially mediocre.
So stop in the Odyssey Pavilion for some of the Imagineering. I think we've got a total of, I think, just under 10 Imagineering panels, maybe less by the time this episode airs, here as far as the seminars are concerned. Stop in for some of those. I think those could be interesting for sure. But as far as the rest of the Odyssey Pavilion is concerned, I think that it's okay to skip, maybe get the trio gallery bites.
Do ignore it.
Yeah.
Last on the list, of course, is the Taste Track. This is located near Test Track. You're looking at a croissant donut. You're looking at paintbrush churros, which are a cute new festival item. They're not bad. They're dipped in white chocolate. They look like painter's brushes. If you've ever had a Disneyland churro, of course, you're going to have a little hissy fit that the churros here suck, because they do. But they're fine. The pancake milkshake, do not get under any circumstance. This is now the third festival. It's stuck around till...
I can't believe it's back again.
It's Bisquick mixed with milk and stirred together.
It's not good.
No.
Pass on that. The lobster mac and cheese is also new. And it's served in a warm bread cone. Ready to go. Thoughts on that?
Trash. Skip this.
Yeah?
Yeah. First off, the line was super long. It was full of other cast members and vloggers and people who wanted the paintbrush churros, because it's the only spot to get the paintbrush churros. Whereas you can get the palette cookie in 3 or 4 different locations, you can only get the churros right here. As to why they didn't flip those, anybody's guess. But yeah, I think this entire pavilion is skippable. Or entire booth is skippable. No.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, I was talking about why isn't the churros where the cookie is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The churros should be around where the cookie is. I'd be 100% for the replacement of the churros for the cookie. I just don't know if there's the infrastructure to be able to deliver those churros around World Showcase like you can deliver the cookie.
It's worth noting that every night now for the Festival of the Arts is the Disney on Broadway concert series. This is cool because you're getting actual singers, vocalists, actors, and actresses from Disney shows on Broadway that are coming to Epcot to perform not only songs from their particular musical from Broadway, but also other Disney classics. The performances are happening in the America Gardens Theater, located at the American Adventure, every night at 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. So 3 shows every night. Each show is guaranteed to be unique, different. Of course, they'll sing some of the same songs, but it's cool that Disney, they brought Broadway to Epcot.
Yeah, and this is the first year that they've actually been brave enough to put it as 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Right?
Previously, so it was only on the weekends.
Correct, yeah.
The shows we saw, I thought, were great. It was nice that it's included with park admission and not an upcharge. And honestly, it might inspire you to go see one of the Disney shows on Broadway. I think that's cool. Other things that are cool to look for the Festival of the Arts, there's merchandise. There's merchandise around World Showcase in some of the pavilion or some of the booths. There's merchandise in Mouse Gear. Honestly, a lot of it is very passable. I hate Figment, and Figment is all over the merchandise.
First year for a Festival of the Arts Magic Band? Am I right in saying that?
Was there one last year? I don't know. It was a limited edition of 1,000, and I think it's gone at this point. There's an annual pass holder magnet that has Figment on it. You can pick it up at a Mouse Gear if you are an annual pass holder. There's just a lot to love about the festival, and that's why I believe it's my second favorite festival. It's no Christmas, but it's fun. It's good. I think that a lot of the food offerings are far better than anticipated compared to the price tag on a lot of them. I feel that a lot of the price tag on, say, food and wine stuff, don't get me wrong, the Canadian cheddar cheese soup is amazing, but there's a certain point where you need to realize I can go to the CC's Pizza Buffet on $1.92 for the same cost as one cup of the cheddar cheese soup.
Yeah, I think that as far as Festival of the Arts is concerned, you're going to be paying a little bit more. That's for sure, but you're going to get the time and preparation and the care that goes into creating a dish rather than creating a plate. And I think that that's worth noting, is that there is care put into it. There is training. There is all that extra detail that goes into creating a plate for you or a dish for you at Festival of the Arts that makes it unique, that makes it worth the extra dollar or two per booth, that makes it worth your time to stop in and check out Festival of the Arts. It is my favorite festival of the year for a variety of reasons, but I think that the fact that they actually, you can look at a photo, if you're going to browse through Instagram, you're going to browse through Facebook, you're going to browse through Twitter, you're going to look at a photo of a dish that says, hey, I got this at an Epcot festival, and I think that you will be able to pick out Festival of the Arts food a lot quicker and a lot better, and it's a lot more unique than the rest of the festivals at Epcot. And for that, it's worth the extra dollar per dish for me.
I feel that Festival of the Arts, it's a good festival. Like we were talking, though, if you're listening to this and you want, hopefully you are either already planned on vacation to come visit during the Festival of the Arts, or this is helping you inspire you to come and visit during that January, February timeframe next year.
It's worth checking out. You're going to deal with lower crowds. You're going to deal with lower temperatures. It's absolutely worth your time and effort.
Yeah, just avoid, learn the mistake this year. Of course, it doesn't start during Marathon Weekend. It did not this year. But the first weekend of Festival of the Arts was during the Martin Luther King 3-day holiday. You, of course, do not want to visit on that specific day. Any closing thoughts? This is the festival. This is the 2019 year, third year running of the festival. The first year was only on weekends. The second year was booths all week long, but they only did Broadway shows on the weekend, and now it's Broadway shows all week along with all the booths. What can they do next year to up this?
That's a good question.
What will push it to that food and wine type deal? Food and wine has beer seminars, wine seminars, cheese seminars. They have chefs doing seminars of cooking. They do all these upcharge events. What will make Festival of the Arts up to that food and wine tier?
For me, I would like to see a chef seminar where they teach me how to create these dishes, because they look far and away much better than food and wine, far and away much better than Flower and Garden. I'd like to see a chef series.
It would be interesting to bring in the chefs who are typically in here. They come to do food and wine festival. And I mean, these gentlemen and women are very artistic. They know what they're doing is not just cooking, but it's an art form. Bringing them back to do the Festival of the Arts to show what they do in a different light might be very interesting to see.
What goes into the concept and the delivery of these dishes? I think that'd be cool too.
Yeah. There's always room for improvement. There's always room for constructive criticism. And as we explained, there's stuff you want to get, and there's stuff that's brand new this year, and even returning stuff that you just definitely want to avoid when visiting the Festival of the Arts. Again, it's all personal interpretation. We all visited the Festival of the Arts on opening weekend at different times to experience it, different items at different times to give you the full idea and to make sure that the quality and consistency was there. We feel very confident that what we told you are solid items. Spend your money wisely. There's a lot of mistakes you can do, but there's also a lot of positive outcomes that you can have. So that about wraps it up for our Epcot International Festival of the Arts 2019 coverage here. We'll probably bring in another episode with the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival. We're also probably going to bring episodes with anything else Epcot Festival related later this year, pending we don't kill each other. Signing off for the night, this is Brett, Schmoofy on Twitter.
Mike with blogmickey.com.
Josh.
Josh with EasyWDW. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.